And we're going to continue, if it's okay, with our lesson that we started last week about serving the Lord with your mind. We talk about the heart, the soul, strength, but the mind, serving the Lord with your mind is just as important as every other aspect of your being. And we talked about hearing and heeding the Word of God. If you remember, we talked about guarding our affections. We talked about mentoring our and monitoring our mind. And we talked about the condition of our mind, having a normal mind, being spirit-led of God. We talked about renewing our mind. In the book of Romans, we read that scripture about renewing our minds and how that is an ongoing thing. That's not something you do one time and you're done. We have to renew our minds. And we talked a little bit about the wandering mind and how our minds will wander sometimes. And we get distracted when we're trying to pray and think of think on the Lord. And I know a lot of times fatigue or the lack of concentration is when Satan is going to attack you. He's going to try to get you. How many come to church on Tuesday night tired and wore out? I'm retired, and sometimes I'm wore out. But I tell you, that's when Satan, and that's when the enemy wants to try to attack your mind. If I can just get them to get their mind on how they feel, rather than what they want to do, worship the Lord and praise Him, I'm successful. I'm telling you, with Satan, the battlefield is in the mind. And that's the only playground he has. So I'm telling you, don't let Satan mess with your mind. We think about the different aspects of the mind, illness of the mind and stuff. If he can get you down with depression, if he can get you with anxiety, if he can get your mind to be just a cesspool of confusion and stuff, you can't concentrate on the Lord. And that's what he tries to do. And don't get me wrong, I believe illness of the mind is a very real thing. And he can get a hold of you if you don't watch it. But greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Satan loves to attack your mind and destroy your praise and worship when you're tired. But like we said, most of the time the weapon of choice for Satan's attack is our past or our future. He is the author of depression and anxiety. I don't remember who told me one time. He said, worrying about yesterday, that's depression. Worrying about tomorrow, that's anxiety. He's a God of the now. Give us this day our daily bread. That doesn't necessarily mean wholesome bread. That means every aspect. Lord, give me today what I need. When my feet hit the floor, I want you to start right then. Give me today my daily bread. He is a God of the now. And I tell you, as bad as it gets sometimes in our lives, we need to focus our minds on God and prepare to hear what he has to say. I tell you, that's why I like to go to the prayer room, and I know not everybody gets a chance to go, and I'm not condemning anybody, but I tell you what, there's nothing like conditioning your mind to get ready for a service. Amen. And that's why I like the reverence that we have when we come into this sanctuary. And I know we like to talk and meet one another and see how you're doing and stuff. But I tell you, there's something about the sacredness of this sanctuary that we need to honor and we need to think about when we come in here. But what God leads a person to do, talking about reasoning in the mind, may not always make logical sense to us. But I tell you, what he tells you will always line up with his word. And I was thinking about old Naaman when he had the leprosy, pardon me, and he went to see the prophet. And he wanted to get cured of this leprosy. And the prophet says, go out there and tell that dude to go dip seven times in the Jordan River. I mean, he didn't even come out and talk to him personally. And I thought about, y'all forgive me for referring to it sometimes, but when we went to Israel, we went and we were baptized in the Jordan River. They got a little place there that you can go, and I promise you, I understood then what he was talking about. That was the nastiest place I ever saw. They told us, hang on to the handrail and watch your step. There was slime and algae everywhere. It looked like an old stagnant creek. Now, I know the Jordan River at times of the year, when the snow is melting and stuff, it's flowing. It'll go out of its banks. That's recorded in the Word of God a time or two. But I can just about understand what he's talking about. Why does he want me to do that nasty Jordan River dipping when I got good water over here? Thank God a little girl interceded and said, look, you got leprosy. You want to get rid of it. Just dip. Just dip, you know, and get rid of it. So I tell you, sometimes it doesn't make logical sense to us, but just follow the leading of the Lord. Follow the leading of his word. Whatever he says, it will line up with what he wants you to do. Amen. Because a lot of times our spirit might affirm it if it's working in conjunction with your mind, but your mind wants to reject it. If it comes down to that, follow the leading of the Holy Ghost. Amen. If we have the mind of the Spirit and God working in us, and if the mind is uncertain or not in agreement, follow the Spirit. Amen. That is what's called being Spirit-led. Romans chapter 8, verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. That's pretty cut and dry. That doesn't leave much gray area there. But we may not always understand why or where the Spirit's leading us in a certain direction, but the Scripture said it will lead and guide us into all truths. I find nowhere in the book that the Holy Ghost will keep you. It says it will lead and guide you into all truths. And I've said it before, I'll say it again. You can know a truth and not know the truth. So if it will lead and guide you into all truths, maybe there is a finite place somewhere where you have learned all truths. I'm nowhere near that, I don't think. He's still leading and guiding me every day. But the Holy Ghost will lead and guide you if you let it. So I say to you, don't reason in the mind. Just obey the Spirit. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not talking about there's some things we have to think about. And we have to, you know, one scripture said, come let us reason together. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about trying to figure out a better way than God's way when the Spirit is asking us to do such and such. And I found out God wants me to obey him regardless of my flesh and how it feels. I think we need to feel like Solomon. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. He simply says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. Verse 6, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. That's such a good scripture. I think they've got a song they sing. One of the courses they sing is those very words. So very true. But when he made those comments, sometimes we feel like we can't trust anybody. Not even God. And I hate to say that, but sometimes we feel like that. But he knows what's best for us. And I tell you, we got to trust him completely in every choice we make. And we should not, don't get me wrong, we should not omit a careful thinking or belittle our God-given talent to reason. He gave us that power. But we should not trust our own ideas to the exclusion of others. We just need to lean on the Lord and listen to his word and what he tells us. And we read the scripture last Sunday. We must not be wise in our own eyes. But bring your decisions to God in prayer. And use the word of God for your roadmap as your guide. And then follow God's leading. And Paul also said something on the same lines in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. And listen to his reliance on the Spirit. And I, brethren, remember last week I told you, you're going to find brethren in a lot of these scriptures. He's talking to the church. He's talking to the church. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined, now Paul did a little bit of reasoning right there, but I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. As smart as he was, Paul figured out later on, the best thing for me to do is to preach Jesus Christ and him crucified. and said, I know nothing. I'm glad I know him through the power of his resurrection. He didn't say, I'm glad I know him through the power of his death. He said, I'm glad I know him through the power of his resurrection. You can kill anybody, but it takes the Spirit of God to raise him from the dead. Amen. Big difference. But if you read about Paul in the 17th chapter of Acts, I went back and read it again when he was at Mars Hill. Read that discourse that he was having among the philosophers and some of the smarter men of that day. And Paul was a brilliant scholar. I'm telling you, he could have overwhelmed them with his intellect. If you want to go toe-to-toe with Paul about the law and the scripture, you better be ready. He studied at the feet of probably the greatest teacher in the world at that time, Gamaliel. He knew it all. And Paul was a student of his. And we need to be like Paul and just keep it simple, allowing the Holy Ghost to guide our words and our thoughts. I'm telling you, the bottom line is we don't need debate, folks. We need dialogue. I remember early on when I was a child, that was a popular thing among organizations, ours included. They wanted to debate. And about the best thing I can come up with after it was all said and done, the two camps split, neither one liking the other, and nobody was any better off for it. We need dialogue, people. We don't need debate. But I know sometimes we want to be in control. We want to be right. We don't want any loose ends, and we want to have everything figured out. But I tell you, we've got to get our minds in unity with his spirits and walk by faith and not by sight. And that's when we get into the spiritual dimension that we can walk in victory. Amen. And because Satan knows just how dangerous a heart full of faith can be to his agenda and his kingdom. I'm telling you, anybody, any Christian plus God is more powerful than any devil. But he knows that a heart full of faith and somebody that's leaning on the word of the Lord is going to be a problem for him. I thought about old Job. You know, he's one of the two men the Bible says was a perfect man, him and Noah. And poor old Job, he just minding his own business, you know, and giving service to the Lord. And the devil makes his way up before God and trying to do his thing on earth. And you considered my servant Job. Devil never mentioned Job's name. God himself said, hey, well, you considered my servant Job? Because he told him, you know, he'd been going around trying to do his thing. And he said, yeah. But you got a hedge around him. I can just see the devil when he's doing his thing. And he passed by Job. Yeah, well, so much for that. Lord, in mercy, does he say the same thing about me? You know, does he ever say, have you considered my servant Steve? And all my shortcomings and everything that I do wrong. I tell you what, we better keep a heart full of faith. Amen. And of course, you know the story about Job. But in the latter part of Job, about the 42nd chapter, I think it is, Job, he figured out. He said, Lord, I've heard about you all my life, but he said, now I have seen you with my eyes. You took it all away. You restored everything to me. I understand you. And now what I've been serving you and what I've been doing all these years, I now see you with my eyes. And I want to be like that. I tell you, no matter what comes my way, what happens to me, I want to keep my faith in God. I want to keep my spirit and my mind working together. You don't think Job's mind was troubled when all of that was going on? Talking about being better if I'd never been born. Why? Why? I tell you, sometimes our mind can get messed up. But I encourage you today, just like we label this lesson, think about what you're thinking about and monitor your mind. Amen. Luke summed it up best when the lawyer came to Christ and asked about obtaining eternal life. And the Lord asked him, he said, well, what does the scripture say? What does the scripture say? Of course, this is a lawyer. This is a learned man. He knows what the scripture says. Luke chapter 10, verse 27. And he, answering, said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. I'm telling you, folks, with all our heart, we need to serve the Lord with all of our emotions. We need to serve the Lord with all our soul, all our spirit that we have in us, and with all of our strength. It's a physical thing also. Don't think it's not. It's a physical thing also. And last but not least, he said, with all thy mind and thy neighbor as thyself. I tell you, serving the Lord with your mind and keeping your mind strong and clear is important as all other aspects of your life in worshiping and serving God. And I had another scripture. I didn't get a chance to write it down, but Sister Roxanne's going to put it up, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. The second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandments of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. I didn't have much to finish when I started this lesson last week. We're going to get out of here early. But I felt like we need to finish up what we were talking about serving the Lord with all our mind. I'm telling you, think about what you're thinking about. Amen. I love you folks with all my heart, and I hope we've said something over the last 2 weeks about our mind and how we serve the Lord. And how, let's continue to do so. We're, like I said, I think maybe last Sunday, we're entering a phase of our existence as going to a new place and building a new church. I tell you, there's going to be a lot of work to be done. And that's why I ask us to hold our pastor up in prayer and our board members and those that are going to try to keep this thing going forward without very many hitches, I hope. And that's my prayer. And I pray also that the Lord would give us peace of mind and would also give us calmness of spirit. I tell you, if we're going to win anybody, we got to have that. Amen. It's hard to win somebody when you're confused. So we need to have our minds clear and serve the Lord with all our minds. I love you this morning. God bless you for your attention. Brother Baggett, do you have anything to say? I'm quitting early.